Gospel this morning might be called A Day in the Life of Jesus, as maybe a TV documentary might feature a day in the life of an elected official or a sports star or any other woman or man whose life may be of interest to large groups of people. There is something in this gospel, I believe, for every one of us here this morning. St. Mark clearly portrays the hectic pace of Jesus' life. He leaves the synagogue, we're told, enters Simon Peter's house. He cures his mother-in-law. Jesus is curing of Peter's mother-in-law. Then he cures many in the crowds. He silences the demons, runs off to a quiet place to pray, and then we're told takes off on a round of preaching and teaching. A very hectic day in the life of our Lord. But as usual in the Gospels, it's not as it seems. And we might miss some of St. Mark's hidden messages or lessons that are worth reflecting upon. And when we do so, again, we'll find there is something for each of us here this morning. We start with Jesus' cure of Peter's mother-in-law. As the Gospel says, he approached her, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. Now, some have seen this as the typical male patriarchy, where the woman is cured and immediately begins to make lunch for Jesus and his friends. But there's a deeper meaning here. It shows us that when one is first touched by Jesus, he grasped her hand and helped her up, she responded to him. And immediately, in that response, she becomes a disciple. And when one is a disciple, one has no other choice than to serve others. As one scripture commentator said, the fever leaves and service begins. God's service to her becomes her service to others. And again, that's part of being a disciple, helping others. There's a phrase, though, in this gospel that confuses many. Now, keep in mind, Mark is the first of the gospel writers to put into writing the words of Jesus, the oral tradition. It is the shortest of the gospels, but there's deeper meaning always in Mark. We're told that Jesus drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. They knew he was the Messiah. And it's only in Mark's gospel of the four evangelists that the first to recognize Jesus as God's own son, are the demons. But the point is that Jesus did not want this to get around yet. Why is that? Jesus didn't want to be a celebrity. He wanted to call followers, not court fans. And this is an important distinction. Fans scream until the next idol comes along. But followers see something deeper. They're willing to take up the cross. And St. Mark is asking us, as he asked that early Christian community, are we genuine followers or are we mere fans of Jesus? That's a question often we find in the Gospels, but we have to ask ourselves that important question. Then there's a sentence, rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place to pray. Jesus needed time out to further discover his mission. His vocation, what the Father was asking of him. And he needed to resist the fans and the growing fame to discover something deeper. In this time of the cancel culture, where, as I mentioned last week, just in the city of San Francisco, 44 schools are being renamed. And of course, Abraham Lincoln is on the hit list. We, as Catholic Christians, have the saints. And God willing, we will not allow them to be canceled, as we saw in the destruction that happened earlier, a few months ago, of tearing down statues of Junipero Serra. But there is a man in the process of sainthood. He's called Servant of God. And some of you may have heard of him, Father Emil Capon. He has a lot to teach us today. Father Capon was a priest of the Diocese of Wichita in Kansas. He was the son of Czech immigrants and grew up in a small town about 60 miles north of Wichita. He was ordained a priest in 1940, and he went into the military as a chaplain in 1944, and towards the end of the war, fighting or caring for those fighting soldiers in Burma. He returned home, was sent by the bishop to Catholic University to pursue a degree in education, hoping that he would be a teacher of high school. But the bishop gave him permission to enlist, and he became a chaplain during the Korean conflict. His is a tremendous story of selflessness. And a soldier who was with him, who witnessed him, who was a fellow prisoner when they were captured by the North Koreans, wrote an article in an interview for the Saturday Evening Post. It is a great story of the life of a man who cared for others. Father Capon was captured again by the Chinese communists, and while a prisoner of war, he continued to minister, devoting his life to caring for prisoners of all faiths. The guards ridiculed his devotion to the Lord. One of the times they took his clothes and made him stand for hours in the freezing rain, yet he never lost his faith. At night he would lead prisoners in prayer, saying the rosary, administering the sacraments, telling each of the prisoners, regardless of their faith, God bless you. The soldier Dow, who wrote the article for the Evening Post, said the main thing he did for us was put into our hearts the will to live. For when you're wounded and sick and starving, it's easy to give up and quietly die. Well, Father Capon, in the spring of 51, with dysentery, pneumonia, and a blood clot, could no longer serve with that same dedication. So he was placed in what they said was a hospital, but was really the death house, with no food or water. Yet even there, he said to fellow prisoners who saw him, I'm going to where I've always wanted to go, my home. And he told his brothers, when I'm there, I'll say a prayer for all of you. And he blessed the guards, forgive them, they know not what they do. Tell them back home I died a happy death. At the age of 35, Father Capon died. In 2013, he was posthumously receiving the Medal of Honor. And as I said, he is in the process of sainthood. A high school is named after him in Wichita. But Father Capon reminds us of where our home ultimately is. And I think we need time, as Jesus did in prayer, to find out our true home, to grasp our identity, our vocation in life. And essentially then, St. Mark, in his gospel, is inviting us to ask the question, do we know where home is? Finally, throughout this brief passage is a theme of healing. And in the midst of these last months of COVID, and in the divisions that we face as a nation and as a church, the theme of healing becomes all that important. Because Jesus brings us a careful and a significant difference between curing and healing. While cures aim at returning our bodies to what they were in the past, healing affects our soul, our mind, and our heart. As you know, with the grotto replica here in the Sanctuary of Lourdes, we are in the midst of our Lord's Novena. I preached the first night of the Novena, and I read a letter from Dr. Sandro De Feliz, who is the medical doctor in charge of the Bureau in Lourdes. He is a friend of mine. I have met him over the last 12 years, each summer when I would go to Lourdes. And he wrote to me a letter telling me that he is praying for all of you, the people in this diocese under the patronage of Our Lady of Lourdes, and I assured him of our prayers as in actually Lourdes, France, the Novena began. You see, Lourdes reminds us that healing refers to the soul and can happen without a cure, which refers to the body. In fact, it is in uncured sickness sometimes healing begins. John Updike wrote a poem called The Fever, and he spoke about one facet of inner healing that may accompany sickness. He has this line, I brought back to you a good message from the land of a fever of 102 degrees. God exists. As he sat on a sick bed for a long time, he came to that observation. Yet it is a truth long known that some secrets are hidden from health. And he's right. Some patients report a greater sense of being alive and in communion with others when they are sick. But when they're cured and they return back to normal life, a life that is often characterized by rote obligation and routine, something is missed. Now, all of us who are sick want to be cured, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Cure of the body may actually lead and threaten the healing of one's soul. As we listen to this gospel, we know that Jesus cured some, but not all, because Jesus was more interested in healing the soul, driving out the demons, whatever those may be. Sometimes our demons are addiction. Sometimes it is selfishness. Other times it's jealousy. But the gospel reminds us that an uncured body can lead to a healed soul. As we continue in our Mass, and as we are in the midst of this Lord's Novena, let us pray for healing in our own lives and those of our families, those we love. But let us pray for healing within the Church and in our society, keeping in mind always that with God, all things are possible.